Now we have class. Now class in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And usually what we're doing is discussing different stories from Chaitanya Charitamrita to give some break, because the first class is some philosophy and the third class is Bhajan Rahasyam, which is also philosophy and practice also. So we like to have a light interlude of some Chaitanya Leela, which is of course also interspersed with, Leela is always interspersed with tattva. Leela devoid of tattva is not satisfying, and tattva devoid of leela is not satisfying. So if you just hear philosophy all day and night, and no pastimes, you dry up. If you just hear pastimes all day and night, without the backing or support or explanation of philosophy, you may become an atheist, or a sahajya, or a disbeliever. What? Krishna peed on the floor of the coward man's house? Really? God? Simple, like this, we become a disbeliever. But this is, so before we dive into such leelas, we have to have some background or some understanding of this tattva philosophy. So, I think we're in the middle of this story. We started the story, what the title that we chose to give this story is Ishwarapuri instructs his disciple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So now, the way we are hearing the instructions of Ishwarapuri, who is the Diksha Guru of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're hearing the instructions of the Guru from the mouth of the disciple. Of course, this is a very common practice in ISKCON, as everyone's heard millions of times. When you join ISKCON, someone, older devotee, Brahmin or whatever, would come up and say, Prabhupada said, and so many things he did and also didn't say. But at any rate, they overuse this phrase sometimes. But Prabhupada said, so they're repeating what they've heard from their teacher. So when, just to bring everyone up to date quickly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Banaras, and he was now meeting with Prakashananda Saraswati and all of his disciples who were Advaitin sannyasis, and they had initially thought he was also Advaitin sannyasi, or Mayavadi sannyas, Ek Dandi sannyasi. And they saw him dancing with all these people in ecstasy after taking darshan of Bindamadav, and there were rickshawalas and all kinds of castes there, Agarwals, Guptas, everybody was there, Mittals. and they looked and said, what is this? You should be studying Vedanta Sutra. So then Prakashananda Saraswati was very curious. This is a very effulgent person who appears more effulgent than the Jyoti, Narayan Jyoti, more effulgent than the Brahma Jyoti, and not only effulgent but sweet and attractive and beautiful. Not only powerful but beautiful. This is a unique combination, Madhurya and Aishwarya, power and beauty combined, and with a special sweetness which makes it irrepressible irresistible is the word I meant to say, irresistible. This is Mahaprabhu. So then he's inquiring, so Mahaprabhu said, because Prakashananda Saraswati said, you should study Vedanta. Listen, you're a young man, you're only in your 20s, you're in your early 20s, you're acting so erratically, so unusually. This is not the proper decorum of an Advaita sannyasi. You should sit tightly, study Vedanta, Tattvamasi, Sarvakalvedam Brahma, Aham, let's see, Tatu Brahma Jignasa, all these, Aham Brahmasmi, all these things you should study. Instead of jumping around, Haribo, what is this? This is most unbefitting. This is most unbefitting of an Ek Dandi Sannyasi. And you and I are the same order. So please, take my advice as your senior. And then Lord Chaitanya was very humble. He humbly accepted that advice of this quite senior to him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was 24, 25 at this time. And Prakashananda Saraswati is 90. He has 50,000 disciples. Huge personality. He says, yes, Maharaj, it's very good what you're saying. Actually, but I have to tell you what my guru told me. So now, what we've been hearing is instructions from the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which are the direct instructions or the shiksha, the guru shiksha, or the guru agya, the orders and teachings that he received directly from Ishwarapuri. So when Mahaprabhu is speaking, then who is actually speaking here is Ishwarapuri. And that, therefore we call this section, or this story, Ishwarapuri instructs his disciple, right? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So everything that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard from his guru, now he's repeating. And this is the standard of the ideal devotee. He repeats whatever he's heard. And that's what Prabhupada would say when he was in the West. People would glorify Prabhupada. Oh, Swamiji, you've done such wonderful work. You spread this Krishna consciousness everywhere, and so many temples, books, and festivals, and helping improve so many people's lives. And Prabhupada said, oh, I simply had complete faith in the holy name of Krishna. I simply tried to repeat whatever I heard from my spiritual master. These were Prabhupada's humble and sacred words. I am just a postman. This is Prabhupada's humility, extreme humility. I am just a postman. I am simply delivering the message. It's nothing to my credit. It is all the parampara. It is all my Guru Maharaj. And everywhere Prabhupada traveled around the world, he always had his photograph of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And the first thing he would do when he would go to some temple or preaching in some temple or room or whatever, he would set up his desk, his trunk or whatever, and put his photograph there of his Guru Maharaj. Mukam karoti vachalam pangam langayate gurim yat kripata vaham vande shri gurum dinataranam. That everything's possible by the mercy of Guru. Mukam karoti vachalam. That a murka or a mukha, foolish person, they can speak something nice. So now we're in the middle of this teachings. We're in the middle of Lord Chaitanya replying and explaining himself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining himself and explaining his unusual erratic behavior to Prakashananda Saraswati. And he's spoken several verses. So we'll continue. So these verses are directly, quote-unquote, direct quotations from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which have been captured here in the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 7, Lord Chaitanya and Five Features, which Prabhupada printed early on in ISKCON as a separate book. Lord Chaitanya and Five Features, you must be remembering, a small paperback book. Because it's so important, because there's so many essential teachings here about the holy name and about guru and disciple in Prabhupada's purports and in the words of Ishwarpuri, which are coming from Mahaprabhu's mouth. So in this text 74, because the criticism from Prakashananda Saraswati is that, what are you doing? Is it chanting like some rickshawala, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna? What is this? This is Vedanta. You should study Vedanta. And then Prabhupada in his purports, he's explained, this is Vedanta. There's no higher Vedanta than Radha and Krishna. And Radha and Krishna are contained in the Yuga Mantra. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is Radha and Krishna. Hare is Radha and Krishna is Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya is relishing Premnam, pure Nam, and distributing Premnam. This is the highest Vedanta. This is the conclusion of the Vedas, the perfection of all religious Shastras. Must come to this point. Vedanti tat tatvidas yat taj gyanam advayam brahmati paramatmati bhagavanati shabhyate. Not only Bhagavan, but what type of Bhagavan? We have Maryada Bhagavan, we have Lila Purushottam Bhagavan, and we have Maryada Purushottam Bhagavan, and then we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who is Prem Purushottam Bhagavan. And then if you come to Lila Purushottam Bhagavan, who is Krishna, Lord Sri Krishna, then you have different aspects of Krishna. There's Krishna in Dwarka, Mathura, and Vrindavan. So when Lord Chaitanya was chanting this Yugal Nam, for him, he was absorbed in Radha Krishna's pastimes, especially in the mood of Radha Bhav. Radharani searching for Krishna. So that name was surcharged with Braja Bhav, that name was surcharged with this intense longing, Utkantita, hankering and longing, when will I meet my Prananath? Mat Prananathastu Seivan Aparaha. Where will I? Krishna Kahan. Where is my Krishna? Where can I find my Krishna? Have you seen Krishna? Is he there? Is he in the temple? Yes, come with me. I'll show you. He's in the temple. Ah, Jagannath, Vrijendranandan, and Shamsundar. Ah. And Mahaprabhu is fainting. So this is Radha Bhav. Radharani searching for Krishna. So this, all of these feelings, emotions, and ecstasies of Mahabhav are compressed and condensed into the Prem Nam that Lord Chaitanya was chanting and distributing in Benares. So what he was distributing in Benares was the topmost Vedanta, Param Vedanta. The intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna Vrindavan, which are playing and being revealed in their holy name. But Prakashananda, he couldn't perceive it. He didn't have the Adhikar, because he was a Brahmavadi, an Advaitin. He was on the lowest level of self-realization. High level, no doubt. Very, very rare. It's not an easy thing to be Brahman realized. It's a great achievement. Very, very rare. Sudurlabha, Mahatmanastumam. It's very, very rare. Sudurlabha. But nevertheless, he could not see. It takes one to know one. He cannot perceive. He was flying at an altitude of 500 feet above sea level. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was flying at 70,000 feet. You know, he's like supersonic transport, right? So he said, and he was just thinking, oh, you're making too much noise. You know, because when they go in supersonic speeds, they keep breaking the sound barrier, Mach 1, Mach 2, boom, 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 as they fly in the sky. These Blue Angels and all these fast planes they have in the Air Force. And people say, oh, mother, making noise, so much noise. So he said, you're making noise in the street with your supersonic carrier. Why don't you just cruise like a Piper Cub? Cruise like a Piper Cub. A one engine is a type of plane called Piper. Just cruise very slowly like me. Cruise at the lower level, the lower altitude of Brahmavadi or Sayujya Mukti. And Lord Chaitanya said, me, Ami Murkahe. The first thing he said, Ami Murkahe. My guru said, Tomara Murka. My guru told me, you are a fool. My guru said, Nahi Vedanta Adhikara. He says Nera in Bengali. He says, Nahi Vedanta Adhikara. Oh, dear disciple, oh, dear Shishya, you don't have any qualification or adhikar or eligibility to study Vedanta, so just forget it. Oh, well, gee whiz, what am I supposed to do then? I mean, I'm a fool, and I can't read, but I thought I was Nimai Pandit. I had a famous Sanskrit toll, and I was called to East Bengal to teach Sanskrit in East Bengal. And I had so many students, illustrious students, and now I'm coming before my guru and he says, I'm a pagal, I'm a murka, I'm a fool. And I can't study Sanskrit, I just blah, 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 blah. And it's like, what to do? And then he said, no, there's one thing you can do. Krishna mantra sada, Krishna mantra sahara. He said, Krishna mantra sada, always chant Krishna mantra. Which Prabhupada translates as always chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Which can also mean Gopal mantra, but at any rate. Prabhupada says Maha Mantra. Krishna Mantra Sada. Kirtaniya Sadahari. So Kirtaniya Sadahari. Again, Lord Chaitanya is saying, as his guru told him, he repeated later in his own prayer, his own Shiksha, Shikshastakam, he says Kirtaniya Sadahari. And that same instruction he received at Diksha from his guru Ishwarapuri in Gaya. His guru said, Krishna Mantra Sada. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Same word, Sada means Sat, eternally, always, without cessation. Krishna mantra sada, Krishna mantra sar. Sar means this is the essence. This is the epitome. This is the perfection. There's nothing more than this. Forget about this Vedanta, this, that, all the Shruti, Smriti. Chant Hare Krishna. So following this line of thought, Lord Chaitanya is continuing to reveal to Prabhananda Saraswati the wonderful teachings that he received from Ishwarapuri. So now, because Prakashananda Saraswati, he's looking a little doubtful. He's saying, you're a murka, and your guru said, you're not qualified, Vedanta Adhikara Nehi, you have no Adhikar to study Vedanta, and your guru just told you to chant Hare Krishna, and that you should always chant Krishna mantra, and this is the essence of everything. And he had all these doubts on his face. Shamshaya. In Gita it's called Shamshaya. Doubts. Arjuna had so many doubts. And Krishna was always asking him, telling him something, explaining something, elucidating different points of philosophy and tattva. Are your doubts now removed? Is everything clear? Do you understand what you have to do? What is the reality? The reality separated from illusion? So now Lord Chaitanya, he sees this doubt, then he addresses the doubt. But with his next verse, and he says, Namavina Kali Kali Nahiyara Dharam Sarva Mantra Saranama E Shastamaram. Mahaprabhu said, in this age of Kali Kali, there is no religious principle. Nahiyara Dharma. There is no other Dharma. There is no other religious principle. Then the chanting of the holy name, which is the essence of all Vedic hymns. This is the purport of all scriptures. Sarva mantra, sarva saranam e shastra marma. So this is, so he's seeing that the doubt in the face of Prakashananda Saraswati. He said, listen, you think you know so much about Shrutis and so much about Vedanta, but I'm going to make a challenge to you now. I'm challenging you. I'm saying, this is the essence, a shastra marma. This is the essence of all your Vedanta, and this is the essence of all your Shrutis and Smritis and Puranas and Itihasas and Mahabharata and Ramayana and Upavedas and all the Vedas together. This is it. And in this age, you and I are living here, we're in Benares 500 years ago. This is Kali Yuga. This is the Dharma. This is the religion. This is the form of yagya, sacrifice. There's no other means to perfection. This is it. Do you understand what I'm saying, Saraswati Baba? Do you understand? And this guru had 60,000 disciples and was 60 years older than Lord Chaitanya. He's dumbfounded. He's astounded. What is he saying? How outlandish, how revolutionary, how brazen, how can he say this? That just, this is the essence of all, I mean, I wasted all my life studying all these Vedas, day and night, learning all this ka-ka-ka-ka, da-da-da-da-da, damadar, learning all this vyakaran and nayan and itihas and all these things. It's for naught. That just, you take one little mantra and that's one shot, everything done. He's making a fool of me. So now he goes on, Mahabhu goes on. So Mahabhu is preaching. This is Mahabhu's preaching. How is he preaching? Because we can take these books from different levels. It's Mahaprabhu and his Leela with his Prakashananda Saraswati, but then us, we're the readers. How does it apply to us? What is the benefit or the promotion for our cause? Well, he's preaching, and how is he preaching? He's repeating verbatim the Guru Shiksha, what he heard from his Guru. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitite Kurya Aikya. That my chitta, my consciousness, my heart should become eka, become one with the Mukh, Guru Mukh. Guru Mukh means the words, the vachan, Guru vachan, the words, the teachings, the instructions, the guidance of the Guru. His words are my words. His ideas are my ideas. His lifestyle is my lifestyle. His behavior is my behavior. This is the disciple. So Lord Chaitanya is preaching, ideally. My Guru told me this, now I'm telling you this. Not only am I telling you it, but I realized it. And I'm putting it into practice. You just saw me. I was dancing with abandon. I was following, I was feeling very humble and just following my Guru. I wasn't wasting time studying Vedanta. I didn't come to Benares to sit under a peepal tree and study Vedanta. People do that. They sit under a peepal tree, ashwat tree, peepal tree, same actually. And they study Vedanta because there's more benefit when you study Shastra under holy trees or on the bank of river, etc. I came here to chant and dance. I came here to spread the holy name. Now he says, Etabali eka shloka shikaila more. Kante kariye shloka kariha vichare. After describing the potency of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, my spiritual master, Ishvara Puri, he taught me another verse, and he advised me to always keep this within my throat. Kante kari, e shloka kariha vichare. Vichara means consideration. You should deeply consider this from all different angles, and you should understand the deep meaning and purport and import of this verse. And you should live it. You should wear it. You should live it. You should realize it. You should preach it and give it to others. So now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is repeating further teachings or instructions he has received from his benevolent guru, Ishvara Puri. So this translation, or the verse that he received, that he should keep in his throat, this is in his throat. Now if we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, we will see that our throats will be very busy with verses. Well, a lot of verses will be around our throats. First, this verse is supposed to be Kante kari e shloka. This verse is supposed to be in our throats. This is kanta, tulsi kanta, or kanti, right? Tulsi kanta. Necklace, mala, tulsi mala around the throat. So this verse is supposed to be in our throats. And then there's another verse that's supposed to be around our throats. And that was told by Krishna's Kaviraj. After he was revealing the Gambira Leela and these divine revelations of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, known as Shikshastakam. And then he said, this verse should be worn as a mala around the neck, like a necklace. What is that verse? Trinadapi sunichena tarariva sahishnana amanina manidena kirtaniya sadahari. So this is the humility verse, pridelessness, humility, respect to others, and tolerance. The four qualities necessary to chant Shuddha Nam. So this verse, that should be surrounding our neck, like a necklace. I know one devotee, one godbrother, he was somewhere, preaching somewhere in Hong Kong or somewhere like that. And he got tattooed on his neck. He got tattooed on his neck in Hindi. And he wrote it on a piece of paper. And then that person tattooed in Hindi around his neck. Trinadapi sunichena trinadapi. So he's wearing the verse. I mean, wearing actually means exemplifying. And we may wear a Vaishnava tilak, but wearing the tilak means we're exemplifying the qualities of a Vaishnava. We're acting and behaving and speaking like a Vaishnava. So that's the verse that we should be wearing around our neck, Trinadapi. Now this is a verse that Ishwar Puri told Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is repeating in Banaras to Prakashananda Saraswati, which means he's also teaching us. Because Lord Chaitanya is the universal teacher. We read a few verses earlier that he's come, that the Lord has come as a Bhakta avatar. He's come acting as a devotee. In the purport, Prabhupada is explaining, Lord Chaitanya is acting and behaving as a devotee and teaching for our benefit. So this verse should also be in our throats. What is that verse? Hari nama, hari nama, hari nama eva kevalam. Kalo anasteva, 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 gatiranyata. This is from the Brihad Naradiya Purana. So this verse was spoken by Ishwar Puri to his disciple, and Lord Chaitanya spoke it to his, you can say, Shiksha disciple at this time, and he's also repeated another place in this book. For spiritual progress in the age of Kali, there is no alternative. There is no alternative. There is no alternative to the holy name, the holy name, the holy name of the Lord. It's very interesting. In different places in Prabhupada's books, when he cites this Brihat Naradiya Puran verse, Harinam, Harinam, he gives different translations, slightly variations of the translation. So this one is, he likes this. No alternative. You can't get, there's no way around it. Anyata. The holy name, the holy name, the holy name. It's very nice. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam. The name of Hari. There is no alternative. So this, we say, okay, I've heard this verse. I know, I memorize this verse. I use this verse sometimes in preaching. Harinam, Harinam. And even sometimes, in old days, we used to sing it in kirtan, this verse. Remember the Harinam eva kevalam kalava nasteva 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 gatiranyata Harinam eva kevalam. You know, so some of the grandfathers in the audience or in this side or that side can remember these types of kirtans, and they were certainly ecstatic and sincere. And so we know this verse, we're familiar with this verse, but Lord Chaitanya is saying it should be kept in our throat. Which means it should be part of us, because inside our throat is our voice box and our thyroid gland, and that's inside our body, and inside our body is our heart. That's also within the cavity or chest cavity, or within the confines of our body is our heart. So this verse, it should be within us. The other verse should be outside of us, because we should be wearing that verse. Trinadapi is around your neck, so that's outside your neck. You're wearing it, you're showing it. You're showing your humility, displaying humility, displaying pridelessness, and displaying respect for others and tolerance. This is seen. These are Vaishnava qualities. Sadachar. Vaishnava Sadachar, the perfect behavior of a Vaishnava. But this verse should be kept inside, which means it's an internal experience. It means that the beholder of such a verse, or one who is cherishing this verse within his heart, Harinam, Harinam, Harinam Kevalam, he is actually meant to realize the deep import of this within his own life. There is no way out. There is no other way but Harinam. There is nothing but Harinam. But we ourselves internally, mentally or intellectually, we are not convinced, or we are convinced to different degrees at this point. So we have not so much internalized this verse. Because within it says, Kante kari e shloka kari avichari. Consideration, vichar. This is a shloka for vichar. It means consideration, it means realization, it means contemplation, it means understanding. So it's internalizing. This verse must be kept within us, within our mind and heart, and realize, I don't have to do anything but chant the name of Hari. Hari, 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 Hari. I don't have to worship Ganesh. I don't have to worship Shiva or Parvati or Gorbachev or whatever. Who's that guy they work?
Gorbachev?
No, they do this thing. What is it? The wives, they do some fast for their husband. What's it called? Gorbachev? Karbacho. Hey, I always say Gorbachev. He was the prime minister of Russia, right? And he got, you know. So they do some kind of puja for the wives. It was a few days ago. All the Indian wives, they fast all day and stuff themselves after moonrise or something. And that's how they show, you know, do some yagya for their husband or tapasya. At any rate. So we really don't have to do any of these things. We simply have to chant Hare Krishna. We don't have to be any extraneous practices. And we get into so many things except the Naam. Everything but the Naam. And so, we each of us individually, we have to examine this teaching that Lord Chaitanya is giving Prakashananda Saraswati, but he's also giving us, because we're here and we're listening to it, and we're there, we're sitting, we're in Benares, and we're sitting there, and maybe we're one of the Nirvishesha Shunyavadis, we're one of the Nirvishesha Shunyavadis of Prakashananda Saraswati, and we're sitting with our Guru, and this golden avatar, this beautiful form of the Lord has come to preach, and we're listening. Oh yes, this verse has not really come inside of me. Yes, yes, I can say Harinam, any parrot, I can catch one parrot and train him to chant this verse. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama Kevalam. So we do the same thing. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama Kevalam. Blah, 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 blah. And then we go to college here and there. In this age of college, there's only one. And we give all these lectures. But we ourselves, we have to, I'm not criticizing or finding any fault, at least I'm just speaking from my own viewpoint. We individually, each of us individually, have to examine how much we've embraced this meaning within ourselves, how much we've internalized the meaning of this verse, the content of this verse, and the import of this verse, and how much we're acting upon that realization. Because as we senior devotees know, they go here and there preaching to devotees, especially the Indian devotees, and they have this whole hodgepodge, you know, altars with so many. They're even initiated. Even they're initiated in the Gaudiya fold, but they just can't give up that attachment to that little Shiva linga or the Devi Murti that their great grandmother gave them. And I know, well, Krishna's my Ishtadev. Krishna's my Ishta. But still, no, it's like, you know, Shiva, he may get angry. He may get angry with me, and I don't want to be on his bad side. You know? He can get really wild. You know? And so he might dance on my head and crack my head. So they have some fear, they have some hesitation, they have some calculation. So their bhakti is impure. Because the degree of surrender indicates the degree of bhakti. The greater the surrender, the greater the bhakti. So when one accepts Krishna as the all in all. Krishna's name means Krishna. Harinam means Krishna. Hari, the person, the Godhead. He's supreme, Bhagavan. He's everything. He's it. I need nothing more. I only need this mantra. I don't need this kind of protection and that kind of protection and any kind of thing. I just need the Mahamantra. And this Harinam. That's all I need. But we, each of us, oh no, I have to have these things here and there and around my neck and all kinds of things. And like I sometimes make a joke with people. I said, did Prahlad Maharaj wear a Nisringa Kavacha? You know, they have these things they wear around their neck, these little silver things. Some of them have Braja Raj, or if they're in love with New Vrindavan, maybe they carry some dust to New Vrindavan around their neck. You know, that's okay. Or you may have the dust of your guru's birthplace around your neck. All these kind of things, they're okay. But if you're thinking that, oh, that I'm Krishna's devotee, but the Krishna, he's not very strong. He really can't do everything. So I better have a kavach around my neck. This is a lack of faith. This is Komala Shraddha. This is very weak faith. Because Prahlad Maharaj, he didn't have a Shrina Kavacha. And he didn't even have the Maha Mantra. He was only doing Smaran. He was only doing Vishnu Smaran. He said, I'm always thinking of my Lord, my Vishnu, my Lord Vishnu. So I know he's everywhere, and I know he'll protect me. What me worry? As a famous person once said. What me worry? I have nothing to worry. My Lord is everywhere. And his father challenged him. His father came one day, Hiranyakashipu, and said, hey, Prahlad, where's your Nrisimha Kavacha? Who's going to protect you now, Prahlad? Where's your kavacha? Oh, I forgot it. I left it in the bathroom. I left it in New Vrindavan when I went on traveling Sankirtan. God Almighty! But now we're in Wyoming. Turn the van around. The Sankirtan. We have to go back to New Vrindavan. Hey, you pug, you stupid! It's 1,000 miles away from Wyoming. We can't go back. No. I left my Nrisimha Kavacha in the bathroom. So his father said, where is your Lord? Where is he? Oh, my Lord is everywhere. He's in every atom, he's in every heart, he's in every molecule, he's in the ground, he's in this building, he's in the pillar, he's in the sky, he's everywhere. Oh, really, Hacha? Is he in this pillar? Yeah, he's there also. So then, dong, and then, ah! So, what to speak of Prahlad Maharaj? Are we doing Vishnu Smaranam? Are we also remembering Vishnu? Yes, we're remembering Krishna. Vishnu in the highest form, Krishna. And more than Prahlad, we're doing Nam Sankirtan. We're chanting Hari Nam. Day and night, Kirtaniya Sadhari. And we won't be protected? The holy name is everything. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But nowadays, in the last so many years, it's all mishmash, everything comes up. But Lord Chaitanya, so this verse, there's many shades of meaning, many implications, many realizations that individual devotees can receive by deeply pondering this verse. And Lord Chaitanya is telling us that take it within yourself. It's yours. I'm giving here. It's yours. I'm giving you this verse. Take it within yourself. Understand it. Meditate on it. Realize it. Like some of these yoga groups, they have, they say, meditate, realize, or whatever they say. Yeah, these three things. So now Lord Chaitanya goes on. The next class starts in a few minutes. There's very long purports here because we want to stay more on the storyline, but the purports, as I mentioned, they certainly behoove one to study them deeply and derive a lot of benefit. We read some excerpts over the last few days from some of the purports, and they're very, very, very deep. And especially the older devotees, followers of Prabhupada, they may have read Chaitanya Charitamrita long ago. And when they read again and see these purports, as always, it's always fresh and new and extremely deep and profound. So now, Lord Chaitanya, he's going on. His story is pretty much almost over. No, actually, it goes on. This is Vedanta. Gaura is there. Gaura, he is in Benares. He's dancing. And Prakashana is looking out the window. Who is that nutcase? Who is that Ekdandi Sannyasi? Here he is, right? Who is that Ekdandi Sannyasi? If we're fortunate, maybe they'll come here. Arivo! Very good. So we're very fortunate on this holy day of the appearance of Radhakund that you all came here. We, all of us that are staying here in this ashram, and our friends from Delhi and Bombay, we bathed last night and we celebrated yesterday because it's 2 days actually, last night and today. Tonight is also. At any rate, I will just continue with this Chaitanya Charitamrita class because after this is Bhajan Rahasyam, but there's about 20 more verses. And just imagine, right now, we're in Benares. Benares is what we call Varanasi. Varanasi is a very famous place in India. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there. He's a sannyasi. And he's meeting with one Mayavadi sannyasi, Prakashananda Saraswati. I think many of you are familiar with Chaitanya Charitamrita. At any rate, he's meeting him. And this sannyasi, this Mayavadi sannyasi, he's telling Mahaprabhu, he said, "Why, I saw you in the street. You were in the street and you were just chanting and dancing." This is exactly what we're... He said, "You are an Ek Dandi sannyasi. You are an Advaitin sannyasi like us," because Lord Chaitanya externally was carrying Ek Danda. "But you should be studying Vedanta. You should study the Vedanta philosophy, all the Vedanta, the aphorisms, the sutras, Tattvamasi, Aham Brahmasmi, all these things, Atattu Brahma Jignasi. You should study all these things. But you're just chanting and dancing. What is your explanation?" Then he said, "Tomara Ami Murka. My guru told me I'm a fool. My guru, Ishwar Puri, he told me, 'Nimai Pandit, I'm initiating you. I'm giving you Diksha. And you're a fool. You're fool number one.'" That's a good start, right? Your guru is really giving us encouragement. "You're a fool." Then he says, Vedanta Adhikar Nehi. You don't have any qualification. You don't have any qualification to study Vedanta. You're not qualified. And then Lord Chaitanya Singh, "Well, what can I do?" Then he said, "Krishna Mantra Sada, Krishna Mantra Sara. You should just always chant the holy name. Don't forget about studying. Always chant the holy name and Krishna Mantra Sara. Krishna's holy name is the essence of all mantra, the Sara. There's nothing else to be done. So I am simply following my guru." And then Prakashananda Saraswati is listening to him. This young man, because Lord Chaitanya was about 24, 25 years old. He was a new sannyasi. And Prakashananda Saraswati, he was about 80 years old. He's an old man, big sannyasi, big ashram in Varanasi, and so many thousands of disciples, very influential and famous personality 500 years ago, Mayavadi. And then he's listening, and then Lord Chaitanya, he starts preaching to him, and we read all these verses. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, "In the age of Kali, there's no other religious principle but chanting." And then he says that my Guru Maharaj told me to keep this verse inside my throat, "Harinam, Harinam, Harinam, Eva Kevalam. Kalo anasteva, 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 gatir anyata." Keeping, and we were discussing how keeping this verse inside our throat, karya, karya kanti, means that we should internalize this verse, we should realize this verse, and understand that this is everything, Harinam. There's nothing more to do than Harinam. That if we can, because sometimes we get distracted to other ideas, I can do this, I can do that, I can worship this devi or this deva, especially in India. We're in India for so many years, we meet so many life members, etc. And their faith is not solidified. Their faith is not concentrated on any one god. They want to invest in all the gods. They put their money in all the gods. They say, "Well, if I only invest in one god and that god goes belly up, if he flops, then I lose all my investments." So I don't know if I bet I should invest in Shiva, I should invest in Ganesh, I should invest in Vishnu and Ram and Devi and Durga and Katyayani, and I keep them all on my altar, and I invest my capital there, and I'm sure to draw a profit somewhere. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, sometimes we worship these devis or demigods for Krishna's service. We see in the Bhagavatam, the gopis worship Katyayani. Katyayani is one form of Durga. And they're praying to her, oh, Nanda Gopam Sutam Devi, Patime Kuru Te Namaha. Oh, please, Devi, please make Nanda Gopa, the son of Nanda Maharaj, my husband. So they wanted service. They wanted to render service, so they prayed for service, not for money or position or fame. But generally, we're only interested in Hari. So Lord Chaitanya is telling this verse, Harinam. And then he says, this is the next verse, E agya pana nama lahi anakshan nama laiti laiti mora branta hoilaman. Mahaprabhu said to this Mayavadi sannyasi, since I received this order from my spiritual master, I always chant the holy name. But I thought that by chanting and chanting the holy name, I had become bewildered. Branta. This word branta means bewildered. In other words, he was chanting and chanting and chanting, and he was getting high. He was experiencing some out of body experience. I'm losing my ground. I'm losing my sense of reality. I'm chanting this mantra, and it's transporting me to unknown realms of ecstatic bliss. And I'm losing, where are my bearings? What's happening to me? And then he goes on. And all this is being revealed to Prakashananda Saraswati. And Prakashananda Saraswati, he's a Mayavadi sannyasi. He's simply studying all day. He doesn't know the bliss of chanting Hare Krishna. Everyone's sitting here, since your birth or so many years, or so many lifetimes, who knows how many lifetimes, you're chanting Hare Krishna and dancing in ecstasy. Boys and girls, men and ladies together. And you know what it's like. You imagine all day long sitting around, Atato Brahma Jignasa, Sarva Kamidam Brahma, Janmad Yasya Yataha. I mean, where's the bliss in that? And this all Prakashananda Saraswati knew for 70 years. A whole life. His whole life he's simply studying Vedanta Sutras. Sutras means a few words. A few words that have so much meaning. This word means that, that word means this. And now he meets this young sannyasi who is saying, I don't know. I received this mantra from my guru. My guru gave me this maha mantra, gave me diksha. And he told me I'm a fool. It's okay, I'm a fool. All I can do is chant. So I'm chanting. And something very strange is happening to me. Something very, very strange. This mantra is taking over my body, is taking over my mind. I'm becoming bewildered. What's happening to me? So now he's saying, Ndariya dharati nari hai lama unmata hasi kandi nachi ghai yachi madamata. He's actually revealing. We say that one should reveal his mind to others. So now, just see the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's revealing his inner heart's experience with this Mayavadi. Why? Because he wants to pull him into the fold. He wants to convert him to the Prem Nam Sankirtan movement. And that's what happens, of course, we know that. He becomes converted. So this Mayavadi sannyasi sitting there, Prakashananda Saraswati, he's looking at this young sannyasi. What is he saying? He's saying that the only Vedanta is chanting Hare Krishna. And some of his arguments, he said, there's no other Vedanta, there's no other religious principle. All your study was a waste of time. My guru told me, what is this? Only Maha Mantra, this is the religion for this age. There's no other activity needed to be done. Simply chant. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam. This is not only my guru is telling, but the Puranas are telling. And you're a man of Veda. You're a Vedantist. You're a Vedantist. You're supposed to know Veda. You're supposed to be a knowledgeable person. Don't you know this verse? Harinam, Harinam, Eva Kevalam. And he's saying, yes, sir. I know that verse. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, I'm chanting and chanting, I'm becoming bewildered. And then he's saying, when I chant the holy name of the Lord in pure ecstasy, I lose myself and I start to laugh, cry, dance and sing like a madman. So has anyone ever had this experience? Have you ever sung and cried and danced and laughed just like a madman? Raise your hand. I want to see how many mad people are here. Because if anyone is not mad, then they should leave. This place is only for mad people. Mad men and mad women. If you're a saint, then dunderbots. But be careful. But if you stay here any longer, if you are sane and you continue to stay here, then you may go insane. So be careful. I'm warning you. So now, as you may be a little worried or fearful, you can imagine what Prakashananda Saraswati was thinking. Oh, wait a minute. This golden sannyasi, this beautiful, handsome sannyasi that I'm sitting with, he's starting to sound a little funny. First he said he's chanting Hare Krishna, okay, but now he's saying he's getting bewildered and he's laughing and he's crying like a madman. This is maybe contagious. I don't know, maybe I better... Okay, nice talking to you. Okay, Chaitanya, you go your way, I'll go mine. I better get out of here before I catch this disease of madness that this Sri Krishna Chaitanya has. So now he goes on to say, Mahaprabhu says, Tabe dharya dhari mane karilun vichar Krishna name gyanachana haila amar. Collecting my patience, I mean, gathering myself, cooling myself down, collecting my patience, I began to consider that the chanting of the holy name of Krishna had covered all my spiritual knowledge. He's saying, Krishna name gyana achana. You say, chana avatar. In 7th canto of Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj is telling that Lord Chaitanya, in the Kali Yuga, there's a chana avatar, a hidden avatar, concealed, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's saying, Krishna name gyana chana haila amar. He's saying, my guru gave me this name, and I had some knowledge. I was Nimai Pandit. I was famous for my Naya, my logic. I was a master of logic. I was a master of Sanskrit. I had my own school, Nimai Pandit. His own toll is Sanskrit toll. And I was the most illustrious student of Gangadas, Pandit Gangadas in Mayapur. I was his most illustrious and precocious student. And I thought I was pretty smart, Nimai Pandit, from a glorious dynasty of the Mishra dynasty of Brahmins. Nilambara Chakravarti from his mother's side, and Mishra from his father's side. And now my guru gave me this mantra, and it seems like I've lost all my knowledge. All that, I was a pundit, and now I'm a puggle. A pundit means a learned person, a puggle means a fool, crazy man, puggle. So I was Nimai Pandit, and now I'm Nimai Puggle. Says my knowledge has become covered. This is interesting. I didn't see the next word. I haven't read the story in a while, but I guess we're in tune. Here's the next Bengali shloka Lord Chaitanya says. Pagala he, pagal ha ilan ami, darya nahi mane, e chinti nevadhelun, gurura charane. Mahaprabhu continues telling, listen, Maharaj, Prakashana Saraswati, listen, when I saw that I had become mad by chanting the holy name of Krishna. The deprogrammers are right. The anti-cultists are right. You people have gone mad by chanting Hare Krishna. You're brainwashed. The dogs may bark, but the caravan will pass. In Prabhupada's phrase. I saw that I had become mad by chanting the holy name. And I immediately submitted this at the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Oh, Gurudev, Dandabhats Gurudev, Pranams, Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya. You, some months ago, you initiated me into this Hare Krishna mantra. I took diksha from your holiness or your whatever. And I have to admit something. I hope you don't mind. But this mantra has made me crazy. I have gone crazy from this mantra. What have you put inside this mantra? You've bewitched me. You've hypnotized me. I don't know. I'm possessed. Day and night, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I'm sleeping, I'm eating, I'm moving everywhere. It's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And in this mantra, I feel like some ghost is taking. It makes me dance. It makes my arms raise in the sky. It makes tears fall from my eyes. And I simply look like I'm a crazy man. I have a crazy look in my eyes. And then all kinds of people start following me and running behind me like the Pied Piper. What is happening? I revealed my mind and confidence. This is in Nectar of Instruction, that we should reveal our mind and confidence. Oh Gurudev, something very, very strange is happening to me. I had some knowledge, but I lost it. My knowledge is covered. I don't have any more knowledge. And I'm acting in very strange ways. Even my mother is starting to question me. See, what is happening to you? Oh, I met some Hare Krishna people in the park. Oh, they gave you some drugs or what? No, they gave me this mantra. Drugs I can get over, but this mantra I can't get over. Drugs I take in and they take me and then we go down and I'm back to normal. But this mantra, it's taking me up and it'll never let me down. It just keeps transferring me higher and farther and farther. Where I'm going, I don't know. And where I've gone, where I've left, I don't know. So Lord Chaitanya is saying like this. And then, in all humility, in all submission and humility, he opened his heart. He opened his heart and revealed his heart to his beloved Gurudev, Sripad Ishwarapuri. Kiva mantra dhila gosai, kiva tara bhala, japite japite mantra karila pagal. Pagal. My dear Lord, O Gurudev, what kind of mantra have you given me? It's like sometimes you give someone some pill and they take it. Hey, wait a minute. What kind of pill did you... Hey, some vitamins. Take this vitamin. Whoo! What kind of vitamin you gave me? And Kool-Aid, right? In the Leelamrita, there's this... Some of the devotees, they went in San Francisco, they went to some concert and Prabhupada was going to speak there. And at that concert, rock concert in San Francisco, it's in Leelamrita, 68, and they served out some... like lemonade type thing. A lemonade called Kool-Aid or something like that. Some powder and sugar and coloring. And so somebody put a bunch of LSD in it. I think you know all about that. So they put it, and then the devotees, they said, oh, devotees, you must be thirsty. You're chanting Hare Krishna in this concert. So take some Kool-Aid. Oh, yeah, take some lemonade. And the devotees, they were like flying, you know, and they said, Prabhupada, that was some amazing Kool-Aid we had. So that... Disciple Mahaprabhu is telling his guru, what kind of mantra have you given me? I have become mad simply by chanting this Maha Mantra. And there's two wonderful purports by Srila Prabhupada that we'd like to share with all of you, if you can bear with us. This is the words of our beloved guardian and well-wisher. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as an ideal teacher, shows us how a disciple should deal with his spiritual master. Whenever there is a doubt regarding any point, the disciple should refer the matter to his spiritual master for clarification. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that while chanting and dancing, he had developed the kind of mad ecstasy that is possible only for a liberated soul. Yet even in his liberated position, he referred everything to his spiritual master whenever there were doubts. Thus, in any condition, even when liberated, we should never think ourselves independent of the spiritual master, but must refer to him as soon as there is some doubt regarding our progressive spiritual life. So Prabhupada here is basically talking about what is technically called guru-shishya-sambandha, the relationship between the guru and the disciple. And that is described very beautifully in the seventh canto of Bhagavatam by Prahlad Maharaj. He says, guru-sudrita-sodrita, guru-sudrita-sodrita. That is brahmachari gurukule. He's explaining about the brahmachari and the gurukul. In other words, guru and shishya, guru and disciple. He says, sudrida sudrida. He says that a disciple should have sudrid. Sudrid means a very firm, you know this word, dridha, sudrida. Very firm and strong and tight, we can say tight relationship with his Gurudev or her Gurudev. And that relationship, sudrida sudrida, it should be, guru sudrida, should be surit, very friendly. There's a very interesting combination here in the relationship, proper relationship between guru and disciple, is that the disciple has respect, but at the same time it's respect mixed with loving affection. That my guru is the representative of God. He's my teacher. He's teaching me. He's guiding me. But he has affection for me. He has love for me. He has concern for me. And I have affection and love for him also. So this is told by Narada Muni. So therefore, when there is some doubt or there's some difficulty, then the disciple is not afraid of a guru. Sometimes we see in institutions that when the guru comes to town, the disciple is shaking in his boots. I mean, he's quivering. Oh, Guru Dave, you know. And there's all kinds of awe and reverence and saluting and dandavats and formality. So much formality. And it stiffens the heart. The heart becomes very stiff and crippled in such formality. So one cannot feel a free flow of emotion. And actually he cannot reveal the sensitivities of his own mind and heart to his guru. The disciples here and gurus on Mars, or gurus on Venus or something. He's like light years away. And this is not the intention of Shastra. This is not the teachings. This is not the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this particular section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila Chapter 7. Immediately, he said, wow, what mantra you gave me? This is very extraordinary mantra. He went to his guru. So this is, of course, we all have our relationships with our individual gurus. But we can hope, or at least we can strive to, because often what happens, frankly speaking, is that a disciple may have some doubts, or doubts or difficulties about other guru, about himself or other devotees or Krishna or philosophy, many things. And instead of going to the guru, he may never go to the guru, but he'll go to guru bhais, or god brothers and god sisters, and even friends and helpers. And he never goes to the guru, or he maybe goes to the guru last. And Lord Chaitanya is showing an example of firstly going to the guru, directly, sakshat hari, going directly to the guru to get clarification of any doubt or problem with his life. So this guru is a guide. Guru is guide, guru is friend. Gurus are, because one time Prabhupada was saying, as much as we have relationship with guru, that's as much as we have relationship with Krishna. And everyone sitting here, we want to love Krishna, we want to serve Krishna, Radha and Krishna. We want to go to the spiritual world, eternally serve them in our siddha-deha. And that will be a very intimate and confidential relationship going on moment to moment with such intimacy and such friendliness and such sweetness and natural flow of feelings. No inhibitions, no restrictions, no rules, regulations. It is a flow, a natural flow, the Vrindavan flow, the flow of love. The river of love, it's called Prem Nadi, the river of love. It flows, it moves, it's fresh, it makes sounds, it's colorful, it's cooling, it's refreshing. This is the river of love, Vrindavan, the flow of Vrindavan. So we're all aiming towards that. We're all aspiring for that. And how much we feel that intimacy with Krishna, how much we feel intimacy with Guru, is how much we feel with Krishna. If we feel very, very far away from Guru, then we're also very, very far away from Krishna. So this is something we all have to work on. Because a lot of times guru may be open and accessible and agreeable to reciprocating, but the disciple, you stay there, I stay here. Some distance. So that we have to see. And we'll go on to the next verse. Next purport. Does anyone want to ask anything? Ask some question? Because you're all intelligent people. Because so many young people and so many intelligent people gathered in one place, this is like Naimisharanya. And so many great sages and saints and devis and demigods have come. And you all have so many ideas and so many experiences. And this devotee's question is that a person may have a shy nature, and in the presence of the guru, or we'll just say some senior or elevated devotee, he may feel some shyness to go very close. Of course, you have that famous phrase that fools rush in where angels dare to tread. And rather than going closely to this exalted person, this devotee prefers to keep some distance and render service. Well, this what he's saying is quite his statements, his devotee statements, indicate a very high level of devotion, because service is everything. So then he said, the devotee said, and I don't really want to just go close to the elevated devotee and just, as he said, hang out. And that's actually everything you said is, this is the proper way to behave and the proper way to feel. The kind of humility you were expressing in your statement, I feel a little shy before a great person. That's natural. If a person really has some greatness, and this is a natural quality of an evolved soul, of a purified soul, he feels shyness before something great, before something powerful, before someone or something powerful or great. He feels natural shyness or humility. Shyness, humility, they're similar traits. And then, rather than just rushing up forward, then, oh, let me keep a little distance, but let me render service. Let me be connected with that exaltation. Let me maintain a connection with that exalted devotee. And this is the best connection to have with an exalted devotee, is to render service. And by that service, you will attract the heart of the exalted devotee. And rather than you forcing your way on his lap, so to speak, and hanging out with him, he will recognize your service, and he will come and invite you. Please, you come and hang out with me. And hanging out with an advanced devotee means that he will instruct you. He will feel compassion upon you and try to answer your questions and ask you, do you have any questions? And he will show his compassion by giving knowledge to you and guidance and instruction and some help in your spiritual life. So this is the best way to gain access to advanced spiritual personalities, is to approach with a straw in its teeth, like Sanatana Goswami when he approached Lord Chaitanya, Dante Trina. He had a straw between his teeth. This verse by Prabhupada Saraswati. And then he came with the service. And this is, of course, when there are exalted devotees, we can do service, and then service gives us some access. It gives us some admittance to their association. And when we get their association, of course, we shouldn't just hang out. We should take advantage and say, well, I have been around so many years. There's some very deep questions I have that I've never gotten answers for. Can you try to answer these questions? What about this? What about that? And that way you can get more benefit. It's good to be shy. It's good to keep some distance. It's good to serve advanced devotees. But it's not good not to hear from them and not to inquire from them. Because then you get the full benefit. You get the full benefit of your humility, and you get the full benefit of your shy nature, and you get the full benefit of the service you rendered when you hear some shiksha from them. Sadhu Sangha, Shikshamrita. So your whole attitude and approach is quite correct and quite good. Now just slightly adjust it. So don't hang out, but hang in, so to speak. I mean, don't hang out, but hang on their instructions. Receive some instructions and hang on those instructions. And hang those instructions on your ears and heart and carry them out and see what happens. I thank you for your question, and it was nice to hear. Just by your line of speaking, it indicates you're an advanced devotee. Some other question? It's a real thrill for me, actually, to see all of you. Because I'm sitting here like a cow dung patty for 20 years in India. I never left India. Basically, I'm living in Holy Dham. And mostly I'm just looking at Indians. They don't even know my American English, first of all. They say, what did you say? When I'm speaking, they don't follow. And then I feel so happy to see Western folks. I mean, we're all spirit souls, no doubt, but variety is also good. But I don't have much power to offer any blessings, of course. And be presumptuous on my part to assume that I do have any power to bless all of you. But just imagine, hypothetically, if I had any power to bless all of you or to give some blessings, at this moment I would like to give any blessings I have. I'd like to offer it to all of you. First of all, thank all of you for coming to bless me with the dust of your holy feet and the darshan of your beautiful faces and the vibration of your beautiful hearts, which are now being received by my heart. And I'm in debt. In this department, I'm in debt because I'm one and you're many. You're maybe 100 pure devotees and you're just showering me with your blessings. So all I can do in return is say, well, if I've accumulated any kind of blessings over the last 20 years in Braj, then I pray to Srimati Radharani and Giri Govardhan and Srila Prabhupada that whatever blessings on this holy day of Kundastami, Balasmi, that you all receive some blessings from our side, and that will help you advance to the perfection of human life. And you're already way, way along the way, much farther than I am. So together we stand, and together we march, and we'll all be there together in Goloka, chanting, dancing, and eating, taking prasad. So I'll just go on a little bit more. If you want to leave, don't feel, and there's no, like we have a nice phrase we heard once, and you probably know it better than I. And don't take too much advantage of this, and don't say that I said it, but it is said like this. In love, there are no rules, and in rules, there is no love. So, you take this to philosophy, to this Krishna consciousness. When we say in love, there are no rules, we're talking about Madhurya Prem, the Vishuddha Prem of Braj. And Vishuddha Prem, in this pure love between Krishna and the gopis and the coward boys and Mother Yashoda, there are no rules. I'm eating my rasgulla, and it's so good. And my name is Subal. And I look at Shyam and I say, oh, your mother can't make a rasgulla like this. It's too good. And when I'm eating this rasgulla, I make sure I make lots of noise, and I drip some juice here and there. And Krishna looks, Acha, you my janani means mother. My janani can't make as good as rasgulla as your glove driven as your mother. So then he's very proud, Subal, of his mother's cooking, and he's relishing. And Krishna's saying, Acha. And then Krishna goes like this, Tum. And he grabs the rasgulla out of Subal's mouth, Tum, puts it in his mouth. Oh, yeah? Oh, no, my mother makes better. So there's no rules. And there's no rules in Vrindavan. Or look at Brahma. Lord Brahma, he's the first disciple, Adi Guru, Adi Kaviye, Yad Adi Kaviye, Lord Brahma. He was instructed by Vishnu and Saraswati. So he follows all the rules. He follows so many rules. He's a Brahmin. And you know, Brahmins, they do all this kind of stuff and, you know, touch their nose and they do nyas and mudras and mantras and stapana and vastu, and they're so busy, all these things. And of course, it's all necessary and very good. You know, hocus pocus, we say. Mumbo jumbo and hocus pocus. That's just a joke. Because I'm just envious because I can never learn all that stuff. But at any rate, so Brahma, he knows this stuff perfectly. And so now he takes a ride in his Hansavahan, his swan carrier. He rides over Braj, and he sees this little blue boy walking along the forest. He's going from Nandagaon, and he's going off into Kamyavan. Thousands of cows, beautiful white cows. There's some buffalo there, there's some goat. All different animals are there also. Govinda Lilamrita says also buffalo were there. And one time, we see all these buffalo. and then someone once asked one acharya, Gurudev, we see these buffalo here. And we read in Govinda Lilamrita that Krishna's uncle, what's his name? Abhinandan and Sunandan, these other Nandas. Upananda, he has buffalo. He has so many thousands of buffalo. Now these buffalo, they look rather ugly. And they don't make very nice noise. So, are these buffalo also in the spiritual world? Because the Surabhi cow are there, the Zebu guy, or the Surabhi cow, the Surabhi guy, the beautiful white cows, and they look so celestial and so beautiful and soft and gentle. And they're rather attractive, actually, in their own way. But these buffalo, they're slow and fat and dull and dumb and just not very attractive. So he said, are these buffalo, are they there in the spiritual world? When we go back to Goloka, are we going to run into these same guys? The same buffalo. He said, no. The buffalo there are much different. The buffalo there are very beautiful. So now Brahma is flying in his swan carrier, in his Hansavahan, and then he sees Krishna's walking with these animals and his friends, and in his left hand he has some yogurt mixed with rice, and between his fingers He has in the palm of his left hand, remember, every Guru Kuli knows about left hand. Left hand is for the back door, right hand is for the front door. Right? You follow? You understand? Because it's Navadwaram. We know this body is a city of, this is Navadwara Puri. This Puri, this body is a city of nine gates, Navadwara. Like Dwarka, Dwarka means gate. So there's the front gate and the back gate. So left hand business is only back door. And front. So Krishna, Bhagavan, God, he's carrying in his left hand, back door hand, yogurt mixed with rice and fruit. And between his fingers, and between this first two fingers, he has lemon pickle. You know pickle, achar? He has lemon pickle. And between this finger, he has mango pickle. And what's the next? What's the other one? Huh?
Tanti.
Anyway, amla also. Between the third finger, he has another pickle. So between the fingers, he has three different types of pickle. And his left hand. And then he's with his right hand, which is, of course, that's correct, but he's taking from his left hand, eating like this. And walking, has his flute stuck in his belt and his lagudi. Lagudi is his cowherding stick on the right side. And just walking nonchalant, dear Lalita Nayak, enjoying. Acha, okay, TK. And Brahma's looking, hey, what is this? He's eating with his left hand? This is God? This is Bhagavan? Wow, Muchi. And every new bhakta in ISKCON knows you don't eat with your left hand. I mean, after a couple of days, when you first come to the temple, you're using both hands to rip the chapati, right? When you sit down for the Sunday feast, you take the puri and go, or you take two puris and put some sabji in it and eat it like a sandwich. Somebody says, oh, no, you have to learn how to break the puri with one hand. And everyone's going like this. You break a chapati, it's a rare art. Use one hand to make little pieces. I'm sure everyone's expert at that. So Brahma was thinking, what is this? He's not following any rules and regulations. He's eating like a mlecha, yavana. What is this? A muchi guy. This is Bhagavan. This is God. He had his doubts. And of course he stole the calves and you'll know the pastime. Brahma Vimohan Leela. So this is Braj. There are no rules about eating, stealing, lying, cheating. Because Krishna is either stealing, and when he's not stealing, he's lying. And when he's stealing, and he gets caught, what does he do? He lies. He's in Brahmandagat, he's a young boy, even a young chap, and he's playing there with his coward boyfriends, jumping in Jamuna, chasing the frogs and pulling the monkey's tail, making face, and then imitating the monkeys. And then he has one tiffin with some sweet balls, some ladus from his mother, Yashoda Maya. And then he's eating those ladus, and then the boys want to put him in some fix. They want to put him in trouble. So then they go home and they say, oh, Yashodama, do you know your Lala? He who gave him that tiffin with the sweet balls, with the ladus. He's not eating them. He's eating that mitti ladu. He's eating a clay. He's eating balls of clay at Brahmandagat. Acha? No, my Lala? Eating clay? He's eating clay instead of ladu? As he could become pagal? He's gone crazy? So then she goes there and says, oh, Lala, are you eating clay? Are you eating clay? Who said I'm eating clay? Oh, Balaram said, Subal, Sridham, all the boys, and they're all saying, yeah, he's eating clay. Mother showed he's eating clay, yeah. And then Krishna said, they're all liars, especially this white guy, this Balaram. I mean, Dalji's a big liar. He's the biggest, he's the chief of the liars. Okay, Lala, open your mouth. So he opens his mouth, and then you know the story. So the point is that Krishna is lying, cheating, stealing. In love, there's no rules. So this phrase applies to Madhurya Dham Vrindavan. In Krishna's land, the law is love. It's the law of love. And then when you take Vaikuntha, in Vaikuntha, this is the other phrase. In rules, there's no love. Everything, well, there's all these rules and regimens, and everything's very mechanical, and everything's in its place. Vaikuntha is a very crippled place. It's a very dry place. You can imagine Vaikuntha in Narayan Loka or Vishnu Loka. There's no Sakya Ras at all. There's no Vatsali Ras. There's no parents. There's no friends. There's no coward boys. Can you imagine? What a dry place. What's going on there? This is somebody's getting a foot massage and lying on a snake? I mean, what's going on? I mean, Vishnu's lying on a snake bed and getting a foot massage. He's a tootsie crack, you know. He's getting his toes cracked and lying on a snake. I mean, There's not much going on. There's no Vatsali Ras, there's no Sakhi Ras, and the Madhuri Ras is just his wife, and this Lakshmi Devi, she's been reduced to a masseuse. There's no Ras Leela in Vaikuntha. There's no mother of Narayan. There's no friends. There's no play. There's nothing. There's no holy. You know, ever play holy? Ever go to Barsana or in Vrindavan? You play the holy. Holy, hey, you know, it's so much fun. There's no holy. There's no Ras Leela. There's nothing. It's just all day long these guys sit around. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Param Sada Pashyanti Sriyo Jujiva Chakshurtam Tad Vipraso Jivansa Suminate Vishnu Yat Paramam Param Om Tad. And they just sit around all day. The Shrutis, the personified Shrutis, they just chant mantras all day. And somebody fans Vishnu and Lakshmi squeezes his toes and somebody gives him Chapan Bhog. You know, 56 preparations, right? Chapan means 56. That word means 56, chapan, vogue. So for us, coming in this Gaudiya Sampradaya, we think this is the place of rules. If you want the place of rules, go to Vaikuntha. In rules, there's no love. A very dry place. So we'll get back to Benares here. Remember, we're in Benares. And we're hearing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speak to Prakashananda Saraswati, the Mayavadi Sannyasi, the teachings that he received from his Vaishnav Guru, Ishwarapuri, all about the glories of the holy name and how nothing is needed but the holy name. Now he's saying how I'm chanting and then I become a little mad, and so I revealed my mind to my spiritual master. I said, what kind of mantra you have given me? It simply made me mad. Hasaya nachaya more karaya krandan eta shuni guru hasi balila vachan. Chanting the holy name in ecstasy causes me to dance, laugh and cry. So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told his spiritual master. He said, O Gurudev, you gave me this holy name. When I chant this holy name, I dance, I laugh and I cry. We could only be so fortunate. When I chant this holy name, O Gurudev, I have to reveal my mind to you. O Gurudev, please, you gave me this holy name. When I sit down and chant this holy name, something very strange happens to me. Within a few minutes, I fall asleep. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's very strange, Gurudev. When I'm not chanting the holy name, I'm really wide awake. But you know, you gave me this holy name, and when I sit down, I can sit down anywhere, I don't fall asleep, but when I chant this mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, I don't know what happens to me. I don't know what kind of mantra you've given me, because it's 7 o'clock in the morning. I had a good night's rest. There's no reason why I should be tired or fall asleep. But this mantra is very strange, because as soon as I sit down, usually ordinarily I could read a newspaper, a magazine, a book, I'd be wide awake. So, Gurudev, what kind of mantra have you given me? When I chant this mantra, I fall asleep. And then Gurudev says, that's okay, it happens to everybody. I was like that too when I first started. So stick with it, and after a while you won't fall asleep when you chant. I don't know if you'll laugh and dance and cry like Lord Chaitanya, but we can hope for those days and pray for those days. Nayanam galadashudarya varanam gadgara urdaya yara pulakar nichidam bhavukada tapanava grahane bhushyati. Mahaprabhu is praying, and we should pray. When will that day come? Oh, when will that day come when tears flood my eyes, my hair stands on end, when I chant the holy name of the Lord? So Prabhupada's purport is here. When a disciple very perfectly makes progress in spiritual life, this makes the spiritual master very happy. And then, seeing this, the spiritual master smiles in ecstasy. So we certainly know what it means. We know what a smiling guru is. Because Prabhupada was harder than a thunderbolt and softer than a rose. And everyone has seen the movies or they've seen directly when Prabhupada's happy with some disciple, how he smiles. And Sally Agarwal in Butler, this American lady married one Agarwal Indian man. And she said, when Swamiji was staying in my house in Butler, Pennsylvania, he was such a gentleman. I just fell in love with him. And when he would laugh, when he would smile, his smile was oceanic. oceanic. It was big as an ocean. Samudra Hasya or Samudra Mukh is. And it's a fact, when you see in these movies Prabhupada smiling, laughing, when Prabhupada smiles and laughs, the whole universe smiles and laughs with him. Because his smile is taking in the whole universe. And it's so attractive and it's so beautiful. Of course, Prabhupada is very grave, very, very grave, and he didn't smile a lot, but enough. He smiled enough to keep us going. Because if he's always smiling all the time, we take him for granted and take it easy. So a lot of times he would crack us also with firm looks and like this. So this is the Guru Day. The Guru, when he sees a disciple advancing nicely, then he smiles in ecstasy. Prabhupada's telling this. He's a Guru Day and he's telling. And the Guru Day is thinking, oh, how successful my disciple has become. The Guru feels so glad that he smiles as he enjoys the progress of his disciple. Just as a smiling parent enjoys the activities of a child who is trying to stand up or crawl perfectly. Krishna Nama Maha Mantra Eta Sabhav Jai Japetare Krishna Upajaya Bhav. Mahaprabhu continues to speak. It is the nature of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that anyone who chants it immediately develops his loving ecstasy for Krishna. What more do we want? He says, the Sanskrit is there, or rather Bengali. Krishna Maha Mantra, a Sobhav. Sobhav means it's the nature, it's the characteristic, it's the very nature of the Sobhav. The characteristic, the actual inherent nature of this mantra. What is it? Skip. Jai Japi Tari Krishna, Upajai. Upajai. Upajaye. Upajaye Bhav. That bhav, which is a very high state of development in Krishna consciousness, there's anartha nivritti, and then nishta, ruchi, asakti, then bhav and prema. So simply by chanting this mantra, we can attain bhav, bhava bhakti. Upajai, bhav upajai. It will rise, this ecstasy, this happy bliss, this true pure bliss of the heart will rise by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God. He's guaranteeing it. He's backing it. It's backed, certified. They have some products. They say standard product, certified. It's branded in India. They have this term, branded product. We say in America, name brand. It's a name brand. And here they say branded product, standard product. It has a backing. It has a warranty. So the words of God are powerful. There's a backing. There's a guarantee. He said, this is the nature. Anyone who chants it immediately develops his loving ecstasy for Krishna. In Prabhupada's purport. Mahaprabhu is explaining here that anyone who chants the Hare Krishna mantra develops bhav, ecstasy, which is the point at which revelation begins. So this, when one just reads this, maybe he doesn't quite catch it. And later when he reads it, then he catches it. Because Prabhupada's words are really eloquent. Even in the definition of eloquence, which is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita, is also eloquent. Eloquence is essential truth spoken concisely. Essential truth spoken concisely. In other words, you use a few words to say maximum point or maximum truth. So in this sentence, Prabhupada is saying that when one chants, he develops ecstasy, which is the point at which revelation begins. So chanting Hare Krishna, upajaya bhav. By chanting Hare Krishna without offenses, one comes to the platform of bhava. And at the platform of bhava, which there's different gradations or hierarchy, everything is a hierarchy, everything is a gradation. And bhava also. So in bhava, revelation begins. What does this revelation mean? This word in English, revelation, can be transposed into Sanskrit to be spurti. It can be spurti vispurti and saksha darshan. Revelation means spurti vispurti and saksha darshan. So spurti means that when one is at the level of bhava and he's chanting this nam, shudanam, then in the beginning of shudanam, then he can get a spurti. A spurti means a vision of his Ishtadev. It's not that you look at some poster, then close your eyes and see the poster of Radha and Krishna in your mind, or this is something like a forced meditation. But actually, just chanting Hare Krishna, then the Lord will actually appear. That's called spurti. Then vispurti means that this vision is there. You may see the Lord, you may even see parts of a pastime are coming from chanting the holy name at the level of bhava. This is why Prabhupada said revelation begins here. You actually tangibly start to see the Lord. And as one further evolves up the level of bhava to prema, at the threshold of prema and on, he begins to have what's called sakshat darshan. Krishna gives the divine eyes by which you can see the Lord right before you. You can touch the Lord. You can smell the Lord. You can hear the Lord's voice. This is described in Madhurya Kadambini. And this was the experience of Dhruva and Narada Muni and others. So this phrase that we say, oh, revelation, okay, revelation. But actually all this is in this one word or all these different states. And Vispurti, which is in the middle, Vispurti is a vision which seems so real that you can touch it, that you can actually, you're seeing Krishna so vividly, or seeing Radha and Krishna or a pastime while chanting, then you reach out to touch it, then it may leave. You may lose that meditation. You can touch it because it's like vaporous. It's like, it's a vision. It's a spurti. But Saksha Darshan is, it's really there. The aprakrita deha, the spiritual body of the Lord, becomes manifest before the eyes of the devotee at a higher level of bhava and prema. So I'll just finish this purport. It is the preliminary stage in developing one's original love for God. So original love for God means prema. So before prema becomes bhava, it's called premamshu. A ray of prema is coming down as bhava. And then revelations come. You start, wow, Krishna, you really exist. All these years, all these lifetimes, I've been chanting and serving and thinking maybe you're there, maybe you're not. And I feel like, gee, I feel it. Do you feel it? Yeah, I feel it. You feel Krishna? Yeah, I think so. Yesterday I did. Last month I did, and when I was in a kirtan, but somehow I lost him, or he lost me, or we got lost, or whatever. That's the lower stage. But this stage, and everything is very solid. And these sportis will come regularly, according to the Lord's will, to encourage and deepen our love and attachment for the Lord. The Lord mentions this bhava stage in the Gita 10.8. Aham sarvasya prabhava mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajanti imam buddha bhava samanvitaha. So this verse is actually describing bhava. This is the first verse of the Chatushloki in the Bhagavad Gita. These four verses, 10.8, 9, 10, and 11. Krishna says, I am the source of all spiritual material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Because in this verse, the word is there, Buddha Bhava Samanvita. So this is, they're seeing, to see Krishna everywhere, this is a spurti, a vispurti. So this is why this verse is revealing bhava. That one actually understands that that Krishna is the source of everything. And he knows this, everything's coming from him. A neophyte disciple begins by hearing and chanting, associating with devotees and practicing regulative principles. And thus he vanquishes all his unwanted habits. Prabhupada is explaining here, Sarusanga Bhajana Kriya Anartha Nivritti. In this way he develops attachment for Krishna, that means nishta and asakti. And he cannot forget Krishna even for a moment. That's one of the symptoms of bhava, kalatvam. That one doesn't forget Krishna. There's nine symptoms of bhava and nectar devotion. And one is he utilizes every moment in the service of Krishna. And Nam Ganaruchi, he has intense taste for it. He has great taste for relishing Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes. It's the level of bhava. Hard to see. Bhava is the almost successful stage of spiritual life. A sincere student orally receives the holy name from the spiritual master. And after being initiated, he follows the regulative principles given by the spiritual master. When the holy name is properly served in this way, very interesting point. It doesn't say chanted. It's very particular. When Prabhupada would pick a word, sometimes he had his dictaphone, he would take half an hour, 1 hour to pick one word. Which word? What phrase? What is the best way to convey this? Most exact, perfect way. Now, Prabhupada's books in English are really masterpieces of devotional expression and so precise. So he's saying here that when the holy name is properly served, in this way, automatically the spiritual nature of the holy name spreads In other words, the devotee becomes qualified in offenselessly chanting the holy name. When one is completely fit to chant the holy name in this way, he is eligible to make disciples all over the world, and he actually becomes Jagat Guru. Then the whole world, under his influence, begins to chant the holy names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Thus, all the disciples of such a spiritual master increase in attachment for Krishna. And therefore, sometimes he cries, laughs, dances, and chants. These symptoms are very prominently manifest in the body of a pure devotee. Sometimes, when our students of the Krishna Consciousness Movement chant and dance, even in India, people are astonished to see how these foreigners have learned to chant and dance in this ecstatic fashion. Mahaprabhu says, this is not due to practice, for without any extra endeavor, these symptoms become manifest in anyone who sincerely chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. While chanting and dancing, or hearing the holy name of the Lord, one automatically remembers the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because there is no difference between the name, between the holy name of Krishna, the chanter is immediately linked with Krishna. Thus connected, a devotee develops his original attitude of service to the Lord. And this attitude of constantly serving Krishna, which is called bhav, he always thinks of Krishna in many different ways. One who has attained this bhava stage is no longer under the clutches of the illusory energy. When other spiritual ingredients, such as trembling, perspiration, and tears, are added to this bhava stage, the devotee gradually attains prema, love of God. The very, very wonderful purports and Prabhupada's telling here, the summarizing the practice of Krishna Bhakti and the goal, the Prayojan, and the Abhideya, Sambandha, which is basically all centered around the holy name. So let us all take these teachings to heart and improve our chanting of the holy name. There's more to this story, which will continue by the Lord's grace tomorrow. But in conclusion, may we understand that what we've heard today is all about encouraging us to purify our chanting of the holy name, to deepen our practice of chanting, and to take more shelter in chanting the holy name, become sincere servants of the holy name, serve the holy name, approach the holy name with a desire to serve. O holy name, O Radhan Krishna, how may I serve you? O Nam Prabhu, O Radharani, O energy of the Lord, how may I serve you? I am a particle of service. I am a serving unit. I am a unit of consciousness. I am meant for service, but now I am so much bewildered and misdirected. So please uplift me. Please purify me. Please direct me towards your eternal service. And this way we can benefit by Lord Chaitanya's association in the story of Ishwara Puri instructs his disciple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I'd like to thank all of you for coming, and maybe we'll see sometime again. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.